Last week, Dr. Kenny had done the class and he talked about, in chapter 19, the four kinds of men. The stone man, who is like a stone, just inert. And then the plant man, who just deals minimally with the world. The animal man, who has some emotions. And then man-man, who is the evolved. So it's a very nice chapter. If you didn't attend, maybe you could read chapter 19. But today we're going to talk on chapter 20, which is what is the essence? What is that we are? And obviously, as we have talked before, when I asked who I am, I give my name, my sex, my father's name, my nationality, my race, the city I live in, the occupation I have. But those are all descriptions, my name, my father's name, my mother's name, my city, my nationality, my race, my color, my sex. Those are all descriptions of either my body, or I say I'm a very emotional person, or I'm a very jealous person or angry person, or I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I'm not so smart. So these are all descriptions of our equipment, this body, mind, and intellect. But who am I really? That is this essence of this chapter, and we'll spend a bit of time talking about the fourth one, that is the consciousness. So when I identify with my body, that I am this body, and majority of the people, almost all the people in the world, identify with this body, and you ask him, who are you? And they point, I this body. And that's okay, but when it's carried to an extreme, then what happens is I spend all my time taking care of this body. So makeup and plastic surgery, and then acquiring more possessions and bigger house and more car and more power. And then if I'm the president, you know, taking over another country or increasing my... So the economic, the political, everything, all this is done for the body. So whether it's an individual body or the total body of the United States or whatever country. So as long as I'm identifying with the body, I succumb to all the lusts and passions and sensual desires. And my whole life is spent in making the body happy. And such people waste their life because... And majority of the people are like that. If you look at the materialism, look at all the conflict, look at all the problems, the CEOs who make obscene profits and don't pay their workers, it's all done for taking care of this body. Slightly evolved than this are people who identify with the mind. And once you identify with the mind, then all these emotions come in, love, compassion, kindness, joy, or even the negative emotions, anger, hatred, jealousy. And once I identify with the emotion, the body becomes secondary. So to give an example, there is a mother runs out of a burning house, and she looks around and says, "Where's my daughter?" She's still left behind in the burning house. And the firemen are saying, stay away, stay away. Nobody go in. The building is going to collapse. But she doesn't care. Even they're trying to hold her. She rushes back into that burning house to save her daughter. She's ready to sacrifice her own body and even suffer death. Why? To save somebody she loves. So when I identify with the mind, then my physical comforts become less important. My own comforts become less important than the comforts of people I love. So such a person becomes more sacrificing, more giving, more loving, more kind. But then the problem with being too much identified with the mind is that such a person's mind is always fluctuating, because you cannot always be happy. This world will not give you happiness at all times. It will give you joy, will give you sorrow, will give you love. Somebody will love you, somebody will hate you, somebody will criticize. somebody will complain. And so our mind is all the time fluctuating, happy, unhappy, praised, like that, and joy, sorrow. And so such a person is all the time disturbed. Why? Because, oh, this person I love, and I may not be going through a hard time, but say my daughter who is in college is going through a hard time. Her boyfriend, you know, left her. It's not that one should become cold, but then the mother gets more depressed than the daughter and starts crying with the daughter instead of giving her support. So identifying with the mind is better than identifying with the body, but is still subject to the laws of talking about love and child. So this couple had been married just for 6 months, newlyweds, and one day the husband comes home and the wife says, "Darling, I have great news." So he says, "What?" He says, "Honey, we are two, now soon we'll become three." He says, "We'll become three from two?" Wow, he gets so happy, he hugs her and kisses her. He's dancing around the house. Wow, 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 wow. So wife says, "I'm glad you are taking it so well. What I meant was, next week my mother will move in with us." So when I love somebody, then I'm ready to sacrifice my physical comfort. Higher than that is the intellect. Intellect is the discriminating or judging capacity. And a person identified with the intellect is ready to sacrifice his physical and even his emotional comforts, like a freedom fighter. You know, somebody is fighting for the freedom of the country and he's hiding in the forest and he's waging war to save his country from invaders or from somebody who is taken over. Now his physical comfort is no longer important. He has left his home. He's living in the forest. Not only that, even his emotional. He has left his wife. He has left his children. And he's ready to sacrifice his physical and emotional well-being for the benefit of a higher cause. And what is this higher cause? The country. For the sake of my country. And we find even political leaders, like, for example, congressmen and senators, spend so much time in Washington away from their family and away from their, and then they are sometimes late at night, you know, in sessions and going through all the stress of that, but they are ready to go through. Why? Because I am here to serve the country. That is, if the congressman or senator truly, you know, is serving the country instead of just serving himself or his party or his family. There's a very beautiful story, Ubuntu, it's an African word. And the story is that this person who was studying African cultures, he collected a group of 50 children, boys and young boys and girls, maybe 8, 10, 12 years old. And he lined them up and he said that in that tree, which is maybe, you know, a couple of hundred yards away, I've tied a packet of candy. And, you know, these were all poor children who were from very poor homes. And he said that whoever reaches that bag of candy first, the tree first, can have all the candy. And so he starts the race. On your marks, get set, go. And what he finds is they all hold hands and run together. And they all reach the tree at the same time and they share the candy. So he was amazed. He said, "Why didn't you run faster?" He says, they say Ubuntu. Said, "Well, what do you mean by Ubuntu?" He says, "Ubuntu means, how can one I be happy when others are all unhappy? See, I get the candy," each child says. "If I get it and the other 49 don't, they will be unhappy." So that is the true meaning of service, where I can only be happy if I can share happiness with others. If I only work for my happiness, then I'm violating this principle of Ubuntu. So the true goal of humans is to, at the intellectual, understand the right knowledge and then share the knowledge with others. And the intellect is what we are utilizing right now when we are trying to discuss, when we are trying to understand some concepts. So it is the intellect which is the one that discriminates what is right, what is wrong, what is real, what is unreal, what is temporary, what is permanent. And so the more we utilize the intellect, it does not mean that you should not have love or that you should not take care of the body, but it's a slow evolution from body to mind, from mind to intellect. And then the highest, of course, is consciousness, which we call as Om or Allah or Jesus or Guru Nanak or Buddha or consciousness. And that is the one that is my real nature. That is what the masters tell us, that you are that consciousness. And all these other three equipments are inert. The body by itself is inert. The body cannot move, the mind cannot feel, the intellect cannot think without the presence of consciousness. Suppose Einstein's body is lying here and consciousness has departed, and you ask that Einstein, how much is 2 plus 2? He won't be able to answer. Why? Because no longer the consciousness is functioning through him. So consciousness is the life principle which enlivens us and which is the one that works and is independent. Consciousness does not depend on these three. These three depend on consciousness. So the example they give is electricity. It's also given in the book. Now, electricity working through a bulb will illumine the room. Working through air conditioner will cool the room. Working through a heater will heat the room. Without the presence of electricity, the bulb may have a 1,000 watts power, but won't be able to illumine the room unless the electric current is flowing. Same thing, the air conditioner. And the amount of light it gives will depend on the equipment. If it's a small 60 watt bulb, it will give less light. If it's a 1,000 watt bulb, like in the stadium, it will give more light. So the equipment could vary, but the electricity is the same. The bulbs are all different: blue bulb, red bulb, small bulb, big bulb, air conditioner, heater. Electricity itself is independent. Electricity does not need these. Electricity is fine by itself, but when you connect this equipment to the electricity, the equipment gets enlivened. And the same way, this consciousness or God was fine by himself or itself, that consciousness, God, that was one, was fine, was by it. But then the world was created, so that consciousness decided to multiply. But to multiply, it had to create duality. For me to see an object, I and the object have to be separate, I and the world. If I see one everywhere, then that is Advaita, unity, oneness. But you and I, we are not at that level. So for us to experience the world, it has to be seen as a duality. But the goal of life is to see oneness in all, because there is actually only one creator, one consciousness, and everything is a superimposition. So experience can only be in duality. And the state of awakening that we are all trying to reach is Advaita, where there is no duality, one consciousness alone. And then there is no saying that my religion is better than your religion, my God is better than your God, my Bible is better than your, text, or my church or my temple. They are all paths lead to that. Whether you are worshipping in a church or a mosque or a gurudwara or a